Lord God, God, thank you that you bring us here. Thank you that you give us the chance to come and worship you. Thank you that you are God with us. God, in this time, just help us to see that it's not just a baby born, but it's a God come. Help us to understand who you are and why you came and why there's hope in that. Speak to us today, Lord. Pray this in your name. Amen. So we're starting a new series today, like Kenny said. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Isaiah 9. It's where we'll be for the entirety of today. I know, and considering our surroundings, it shouldn't, but this is going to take some of you completely by surprise, okay? And some of you are still in denial about this, but brace yourself, because I'm going to say something really controversial, okay? It is currently the Christmas season, okay? I know. Just not believing it doesn't actually make it less true. Here's another unpopular opinion for you. I like the Christmas season. I love it, actually. I love snow. I love cold. I love giving presents. I love the lights. I love the decorations. I love the stories. I love Santa and elves and reindeer and Yukon Cornelius, the Bumble, if you know what I'm talking about. I even love the music. 42 years after his death, and Bing is still king of Christmas music, right? Anybody else? Yeah. I love that my kids love it. And most of all, I love that we actually get to talk about these parts of the Bible that we tend to tuck away with the tree after Christmas. Like somehow these core parts of our faith are somehow seasonal. So our series till the end of the year is called God With Us. It's a familiar phrase for many of you who have spent much time in the church. We tend to take it, as the verse said, from the name Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. It's the name of Jesus. But honestly, it's actually all over the Bible, like spilled coffee. You can't find a part of the Bible that doesn't push this point. God with us. God is with us. So let's look in this text, Isaiah 9. Again, this passage might be a little familiar for you because we kind of hit these kinds of things every time this year, for if you've been around for a while. It starts Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9 kind of starts with a little chunk of 8 to it, so just bear with me. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. The yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Okay, here's what I want you to grab from that, okay? One basic, simple idea that I want you to walk away with today. God is with us. And there is hope. Hope is kind of a funny word this time of year. We throw it around in a lot of ways. See, if life is going well, like I said before, all those things I said before about Christmas are true, we can smile and we can be merry for a little while. And if not, if life's not going well, it's a fair sight harder. Maybe that's why people get so mad about how early retailers set out their Christmas stuff every year. It's hard sometimes to maintain that smile for too long. Because honestly, whether life is going well at the time or it's not, sometimes it does kind of feel like a facade, doesn't it? like a mask. Like we're kind of forced to be pulled into holiday cheer, but it kind of becomes awfully difficult as time goes on. It's easy to grow jaded at the season, even at the very idea of hope. For some of us, each new Christmas brings more empty seats at the table of loved ones gone. The snow starts off looking nice, but then after a while it starts to look like a funeral shroud over all our dead surroundings. The lights and the presents and the feasts of those around us only serve to accent what we can't have, what we can't provide, or what we have simply lost. Hope is a funny word at Christmas time, especially when what we hear is that God told us to have hope. Sometimes it feels like Christmas is just kind of a temporary salve on a wound. Like, life is terrible, and we all know it, and everything's broken, but we can just pretend for a little while that there's good things and magic, and that everything's going to be okay by whatever we can do ourselves and whatever things we can bring into our life. But the truth is, we're standing here today talking about hope because we are a people so often without it. Because we have to convince ourselves there's hope, because life usually does not look that way. I remember being 19 or 20, sitting in a car delivering pizzas for Pizza Hut. You get a lot of head time when you're in a car delivering pizzas. I was just sitting there thinking about everything that had happened in my life up to that point. All the things that had gone wrong with my family, my relationships, all the plans that I had for myself and my future that I had derailed while everyone else's seemed to work out. And I just sat there in that car and I asked God one question. Why? See, I think God can handle those questions. I don't think I've ever surprised God with those questions. Sometimes he'll show us the answer, and sometimes we aren't ready for the answer, but it never seems to bother him that we ask. I say that because there's this key thing about God that we need to understand. See, the Bible doesn't say, as I just said a minute ago, God told us. It doesn't say he just told us to have hope. It doesn't say that the ultimate conclusion, the ultimate end for all of us that God had in mind was for him to sit and watch us from a distance and watch as we condemn ourselves and destroy ourselves, and then he can list off all the things that we're doing wrong so that he can punish us for them. It doesn't say God told us. It says God with us. What does it mean for someone to say that they're with you? What does it actually look like for someone to step into that? To step into your life, to step into the insanely difficult situation that you live in day by day. What does it look like for someone to be with you when you're parenting, with you in your school, with you in your relationships, with you in your sexuality, in your friendships, with you in your identity, with you in your evangelism, in your own personal discipleship and growth, to have a God who says, I am with you through your sin. What does that look like? I'm with you, he says. A God that's with you in your marriage, a God that's with you in your divorce, a God that's with you in your grief, a God that is with you in your highs and your lows. What does it look like for someone to stand there and say, I'm with you. I'll stand with you. Where's hope? I mean, I think we all know life is hard, right? Did I surprise anybody with that? Anybody surprised in this room? Life is hard. I think we all know life is tough. And that money is tough, and that work is tough, and the parenting is tough, and kids are tough, and marriage is tough, and relationships are tough, and some days just existing is hard. I think we all know that. And if we look at God as this being who's just watching us fail, telling us that it's the wrong way to do things, I think that we miss who he is so completely. You know what, let me correct that. I don't think that we miss who he is. I know that we miss who he is. See, what we find here in Isaiah is something completely different. We find that God has a plan, and that plan involves nations and armies, but more than that, it involves individuals. It involves people. you and I, and kings and paupers and broken and whole, and everyone that you can possibly imagine in between. It's a plan that he set in motion at the beginning, not one that he just decided he was going to do, or one that he said, well, you know, the fall of mankind happened. I think I'll just chill for a while. And then somewhere down the line, I'm going to get around to moving and doing something. I'll figure something out. No, it says that he did this, and don't miss this. This is the important part of the passage, because the important part of any passage of Scripture is what God has to say about himself. It says that he did this because of his zeal for us, because of his passion, because of his unending commitment, his insane level of devotion, his unbelievable mercy. He said from the beginning, I have a plan. I will not rest until it is carried out. I will be with them, and they will be with me. Do you believe that? Is that a God that you know? Because it's absolutely key. Guys, you can't go into the season trying to understand the incarnation of Jesus, the mercy and grace and love and hope that was shown at the birth of Jesus and on the cross, trying to understand why he came the way he did and why he had the parents that he chose to have and why he chose what he did in his birth story and then the life that he lived growing up and eventually the cross. You can't understand any of that until you understand one very basic thing, the answer to one question: why is there hope? Because if this is the kind of God who just stands back and watches, a God who tells us, then there isn't hope in his coming. Because he's just here to stay distant and tell us all the broken things about ourselves that we already know. So why is there hope? It's because of that last verse, verse 7. Did you miss it? It's the part that includes the rest of us, the ones who don't deserve the things that exist in verse 1 through 6. He's a God with us because he is zealous for you. He has zeal. Zeal is not a word we use very often. Zeal is this unending, crazy, passionate commitment. It's this do or die mentality. He is crazy about you, and he has a plan. There's this movie, many of you know it, some of you might not. As I was writing this, I realized that somehow it's become an old movie while I wasn't watching. But there's this movie called Saving Private Ryan. Anybody? Anybody know that movie? Thank you. In it, an expedition is launched into hostile territory to retrieve this army private named Ryan at whatever the cost. He had to be rescued. He had to be made safe. He had to be brought back from who knows what fate that they had no idea of. It was a hugely popular movie at the time. Still is. I think, honestly, that the reason this idea connects so well with people is that for so many of us, we long to believe that maybe someone will come for us. Maybe they have. Maybe we weren't just saved incidentally. Maybe God didn't save everyone else and then us, or his select few, and then we happen to just be able to tag onto the grace coattails. Maybe it's not that God had all these plans in mind for others and that we were just allowed to be part of us. What if the story is exactly like that? What if the expedition was launched for you? What if you were created? You were an idea in the mind of God Almighty, something specifically, wonderfully designed by him, something that he looks at like a master artist, a master creator, that he loves deeply and truly, something unique and unlike anything else that exists. What if you are that? Because that's what the Bible says. What if you are the thing that caused him to come, that caused him to die? What if it wasn't just God has a plan for others and he's equipped others for good things? What if it isn't just that you aren't good enough, but at least these guys are, and so you happen to hear something about it from them? What if it isn't that nagging fear that you have that you weren't created for great things, that you weren't made with the care and in such a magnificent way as the others that you envy and wish you were like? What if that isn't true? What if you were, in fact, created fearfully and wonderfully formed in your mother's womb and known before you were made by the God of heaven, the creator of the universe? What if he saw something broken in this world and he said, you know what my solution is for that? You know the thing that I desire to step into that situation, to show my mercy and my love and my grace and who I am to people in those situations? You know what the thing is that I have designed specifically for that? The thing that I want? It's you. What if that's what's true? What if God came because he is undeniably, unashamedly, unabashedly, desperately zealous for us because he made us and he knows each of us and he loves us? If that's the case, then suddenly life isn't just whatever. All of a sudden, there's nothing that's necessarily hopeless. If God has come to be with us, then all of a sudden, all the horrible things that have happened in life can have purpose. It means that you have been created and specifically designed with those things coming in mind, that you were created to be in connection with the Creator, and together you may face those things. What that means is that all those things that you found hopeless, all those things in your life that have crushed you and beaten you down and completely and totally overwhelmed you, all those things that you don't know what to do with anymore, what that means is that there is a God that is relentlessly pursuing you through that, waiting with you, standing at the ready to stand beside you, to be God with us, not God told us. God with us, to step into your darkness, to step into the situation, to step into the things that you don't think you can handle on your own because you can't, and to be with you. How many of you have ever woken up and looked in the mirror and thought, man, there is nothing and no one that can identify with where I'm at? There is nothing and no one who shares my struggles, who understands where I've been or I'm coming from. There is no one who can possibly relate. I have been alone my whole life. How many of you have ever thought that? That I've never fit anywhere. I've thought that all the time. What if you're not alone? What if this life has something more to offer than pain and loneliness and self-medication and bitterness? What if there actually is hope with us? A God who is for us. A God who looked at us in all of our brokenness and our sin, in our mess that we chose for ourselves, and he didn't reluctantly come. He didn't come for someone else. He said, no, I'm going to save him. I'm going to save her because I love her. He's mine. And I will do whatever it takes to bring him back. I'm with you. So to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. To us comes hope and the real truth of our shared identity, finally and perfectly made clear by the zeal of our Creator for us. You are fearfully, wonderfully created for a purpose, and by a loving Creator who does not make mistakes. Your life was known ahead of time. The things you would face, the hurts you would face, the brokenness that would come against you, the mistakes you would make, it was already known. There is a God who has zealously, from the beginning of time, pursued you, who is with you. Even before you knew he was with you, he was with you. Because of this, there is hope. Not just in this season, but in every season. Because of this, you can know who you are, that God made you for this day, that it's not an accident you are here, and that because of the hope that you have a purpose. And you have been made into messengers of hope in this season and in every season. You have a job to do, one that you were created with in mind. So as we leave here, steady your hearts, strengthen your stride, and go and spread that word that the one that Isaiah and the angels declared to every person who will listen, God is with us. And there's hope. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for the hope that you give us. Thank you that you came, not even though you knew us, but because you knew us, because you love us, and because you knew we needed you. Thank you that we can define our worth in you by what you paid for us. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the cross. I pray this in your name.